Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Does the thought of going to the dentist fill you with dread? Well, if it does, would the idea of getting dental treatment done under hypnosis make it seem like a less frightening prospect? Our next guest has done implants and extractions without the use of local anaesthetic due to the power of hypnosis. And he's speaking at the Irish Dental Association annual conference this weekend. He believes it's time for more dentists to embrace the technique. Dr. Mike Gow, who is Director of Dental Anxiety Management at the Berkeley Clinic in Glasgow, joins us on the line. And thank you very much, Dr. Gow, for speaking to us today. I suppose, firstly, can you tell us how did you end up becoming a director of the dental anxiety of dental anxiety management?
Thank you. Good afternoon, and it's good to meet you, sir. Yes. So, I, as a dental student, I found very quickly that working with anxious patients was something that I particularly enjoyed. You know, the clinical dentistry side of it is interesting and exciting, but when you truly feel that you've helped somebody come from a place where they feel it's impossible to have dental treatment, to then be able to get it, I just found it very, very rewarding to do. So I basically, at that point, started training in as many different techniques as I could.
So when people think of hypnosis, a lot of people, at least when they think of hypnosis, might think of, you know, the pocket watch ticking back and forth or other such things that we may see on TV. What does it actually involve?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of myths and misconceptions about hypnosis, mainly portrayed by, you know, by the media, by things people have seen on stage shows. As far as medical and dental hypnosis is concerned, you know, I kind of consider myself as a coach, and it's about helping somebody utilize the kind of power of their subconscious in a positive way so that they can overcome their anxieties. So that's really how it's used.
But say I walk into a dental clinic tomorrow who practices this and say, I'm really anxious about this procedure, I'd like to get hypnosis first, please. What would happen to me?
Well, obviously, there'd be a discussion initially about what to expect from it. You know, an actual hypnosis session itself, you know, you'll be familiar with what it feels like to be hypnotized, because it's kind of like a dreamlike feeling. You're in a bit of a daydream. And it's in that kind of frame of mind that your subconscious mind becomes more open to suggestions and ideas, as long as they're acceptable to your belief system. So we basically use the power of your subconscious mind to make those changes.
I'm still not clear, though, what would happen to me. I'm fascinated by it. Would I be sitting in the chair and do you talk me through focusing on a certain thing or...?
Of course, most of the time with hypnosis, there's what's called an induction. So that's in the old days, that would have been the swinging pocket watch, which I've never tried because I think people would just laugh. But it usually involves a focus of attention. So looking at a spot on the ceiling or focusing on an object, also just visualization, relaxation, that type of thing. So it's a kind of shift of your awareness from the external world into a kind of internal world, if that makes sense.
So primarily you look at using this for anxiety management, but as I said, you have also been able to use it for extractions without the use of local anaesthetic.
Yeah.
This stunned me when I heard about this earlier. Was there no screaming?
Again, I mean, to be honest, it's quite rare that you would need to use it as the sole anaesthetic. So occasionally there are patients that have, you know, allergies or extreme sensitivities to local anaesthetic or pain control medications. Really, the reason why I've done it for television documentaries was to demonstrate, you know, if we can place an implant or remove a tooth only using hypnosis, then imagine how powerful it is if you're using it in combination with a local anaesthetic or with your traditional pain control medication. And, you know, pain is a very, very complex thing, but there's a huge part of it that is an emotional element of how you experience that sensation.
So what else can you use it for then? Is it primarily anxiety, or are there other conditions related to dentistry that you can use it for?
Well, basically anything that has a kind of psychological impact, it can be used with. So in dentistry, I would use it with people that clench or grind their teeth, people with strong gag reflex, people that want to stop smoking, who get oral ulceration, problems with too much or too little salivation, burning mouth syndrome. You know, the list goes on and on.
And does it work for everyone?
Some form of hypnosis will work with most people, and therein's the issue sometimes when you're studying or researching hypnosis. There's a lot of variability between the clinician who's using it and what techniques they'll use, but the vast majority of people would have some effect with hypnosis, yeah.
You're going to be speaking about this at the Irish Dental Association annual conference this weekend. I wonder what reception do you expect to get? How widely accepted is this within the dentistry world?
I think it's increasing. You know, I think, as with anything, dentists and medics really look for evidence base, and there is a huge increase in the evidence base for hypnosis, especially in the application for pain, because we can actually now take functional MRI scans and look at what's happening inside the brain and look at the difference between somebody who's hypnotized and somebody who isn't. While they're experiencing something that should be painful. So we can see the clear-cut science that this works.
You can see the clear-cut science that this works, but do you think it is accepted widely in the dentistry world or at all?
As I say, I think it's growing. I think there should be more, and I think medicine and dentistry are as vulnerable as everyone else to the myths and misconceptions of misunderstanding what it's about. So there is sometimes still a degree of scepticism about it, but usually by the time somebody's listened to the talk, hopefully they kind of find the truth about it. So I'm hoping that's what my talk will achieve.
Okay, and just finally then, Dr. Gao, if somebody's listening and they think this would be really helpful for them, actually, if they have a dentist appointment they've been putting off due to anxiety or whatever it might be, and their dentist isn't offering this as a treatment for them or as an add-on additional service for them, can you get hypnosis from somewhere else and then go to your dentist? Could you do it that way? Would that work, do you think? Or is there a way around it if you don't have the service locally?
Yes, there's a number of kind of folk that will be coaches. Our suggestion through the hypnosis organisations are that hypnosis is best applied by people who are qualified, so they're already a professional dentist or psychologist or medic. They have a healthcare professional and they're using it within the realms of the type of treatments that they're doing. So that would be the main advice we would give.
Okay. Look, thank you so much for joining us. Fascinating to hear about it. That's Dr. Mike Gao, who's Director of Dental Anxiety Management at the Berkeley Clinic in Glasgow.